Hello, Mr. Boishakura. I'm sorry we didn't have you in the beginning. Okay. So we asked a question. What happened to the Jewish people in Yom Kippur? What happened to them? You guys know.
We got the Torah.
We got the Torah. What's Yom Kippur? We don't say Yom Matan Torah Tehillim. We say, what's Yom Kippur? Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. What's Kippur? What's Lashon Kippur? Rashi says, Kippur means the Lashon Kinuach, L'kaneach, clean. It's a day of cleaning. So what's that do with giving the Torah? How many guys daven? You daven your first sister?
We daven.
Daven how many times a day?
Three.
Wow, you're good. Four? With Musaf you beat. You can daven five times with Yom Kippur as well.
That's the wrong religion.
Though. Yeah.
Depends on the day.
What do we say in our davening? The brachas. How do they go?
Which ones? The brachas and the shakas?
No. The Shmoneh Esrei.
Shmoneh Esrei?
Go Atachonen, right? Mm-hmm. What are we asking for there?
Das, right?
Das. Come in! Join the big group.
We're asking for Bina and Das. Insight, wisdom.
What's after?
Righteousness.
No, let's get a seat. I want you to see how the Nusach HaTfil is. We ask you for Chochmah. Chochmah, Bina, V'Das, right? What's the next thing we ask for?
For Tshuva, right?
Tshuva. How do we ask for Tshuva?
The ability to do it.
Huh? How do we ask for Tshuva? Read in English. Okay, I'll read it.
I'll read it for you.
You want to read?
Yeah,
okay, let's go. That's a good thing. How do we ask for tshuva? You know what tshuva is?
Repentance.
Repentance, okay.
Clearly we're wrong.
Hashem knew, God knew, right? Blessings. How do we ask for tshuva? Read the brach for tshuva. Let's hear. This is a problem we do three times a day. I mean, you know?
We've sinned and we want to do better.
We have sinned, forgive me for I have willfully sinned. You are forgiver, pardon.
Okay, let's read, let's see. We're talking about, what's Yom Kippur? Hey, what's Yom Kippur about? Oh, he's from.
You want me to read
the first you're making brachas for the toilet? That's great.
You want me to read the Hebrew or the English?
Read the English, whatever you want. Why do we read it to you?
Repentance or forgiveness?
The second bracha. Okay. Come sit down, sit here.
Bring us back. Bring us back our father.
Oh, yeah, come here.
I think I can read it in Hebrew. I think everyone here understands, right?
Yeah?
Sure.
I don't understand Hebrew.
So I'll read it first.
Come on, you have to use the Upak.
I'll read it first in Hebrew, then in English. Hashavinu avinu l'saraseka v'kalbinu l'akina v'adaseka. Bring us back our father to your Torah and bring us near our king to your service. V'hachazirenu b'shuva shlema z'fonecha. And influence us in complete repentance before you. Baruch atah Hashem haratzeh b'shuvah. Blessed are you, Hashem, who desires repentance.
So where it says, Hashiveinu avinu?
V'sarasecha. Bring back your father to your Torah.
Huh. The return, tshuva means to return. Where were we returning to?
To your Torah. To our Torah. To his Torah.
Turning to him.
Right. Interesting now. Yom Kippur is what? What's Yom Kippur? What we got on Yom Kippur?
We got the Torah.
We got the Torah. Which Torah do we get? The Torah we have today. Luchot Shniyot, the second Luchot. The first Luchot got broken. You know? We didn't get them refurbished even. The second ones, we got a new set.
It was under warranty.
Yeah. It was under warranty. We got a little different, the second set though. It wasn't as good as the first ones.
Right, we had to make them around.
Yeah, we made it ourselves. There was more toil in the Torah. The Torah required a lot more toil. And it happened because of the toil of man. Man was in a different state. Because it was man-made, so man wasn't as perfect as he... Oh! I see this is a good time for people getting up. I should make a fish.
Catch them as they're coming to breakfast.
Yeah. This is a good place, right?
Right?
You guys haven't had breakfast? No, seriously, you haven't had breakfast?
I haven't. No, well, it's okay.
You had breakfast?
Yeah.
No, what? Do me a favor. We'll have a break. 5 minutes. Go get breakfast, sit here and have breakfast.
No,
you're going to be hungry.
It's fine, it's fine.
Okay.
You're hungry? Get a cup of tea. At least get a cup of coffee or tea. I'm waiting. Go get a cup of coffee or tea. Going back. Yom Kippur is when we got the Torah. And Yom Kippur means the day of cleaning. We get cleaned from our avonos. Slichet ha'avonos. and we ask, what's the connection between the giving of the Torah and tshuva? Shavuos wasn't that way, l'chora. L'chora, no. It seems that way. Truth is, it was. When we got the Torah the first time, a Matan Torah, so Chazal say, Paska zumata shon nachash. Man, when we receive the Torah, return to the state before the Chet of Adam HaRishon. We went to somewhat the level of Tchias HaMeisim,
which is resurrection
of the dead. We were completely revived from our Averus, from our physicality. At least the first two Dibrot, the first two statements. Afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, that was the problem, and therefore it didn't have a full effect on us. And the Erev Rav with the golden calf, and you'll know the story probably, right? Yom Kippur, when we got the Luchot Shniot, it wasn't the same. We were still a more physical state. There was now involvement in the Torah, just as the Luchot were made by man, there was more man involvement in the Torah. Man's Torah, man's work, his endeavor in the Torah became a more fundamental part of the Torah. Man was more prone to his physicality. Now the giving of the Torah wouldn't complete man completely because there's still man's part in his avoda. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we see from the tefillah, the nusach tefillah, that the whole bracha of tshuva is returning to the Torah. Right? So what does that imply? That our whole problem is Torah. Our whole problem is kesher to the Torah, connecting to the Torah. If we were properly connected to the Torah, we would not have problems. Simple as that. Hashiveinu avinu Torah. That implies you did tshuva, right? Mm-hmm. If you connected to the Torah, you don't have any problems. Now I want to ask you another question. Obviously Chazal, you know, has a big plan for us. We have Yom HaShoshanah, Yom HaDin, then the finalizing of Yom HaDin is Yom Kippur for us. And this is a time of extreme closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Come closer, come. Don't bite much. Put the cereal down. Be comfortable. No. Make a bracha. Come, we'll record you.
What do I say?
Borei minenis or not? Baruch.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher yishalom.
Borei.
Borei.
Minei.
Minei.
Mizonot.
Mizonot.
Now don't speak and eat.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Alright. Now. So, what are we doing here, young people? What's this plan that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for us? After Yom Kippur, what do we do? It's written in Shulchan Aruch, you build a sukkah. Straight away after Yom Kippur. You look for your Arba Minim. Come sukkahs, you're under the sukkah. Then we say, one more day to be with Hashem. One more day. Shmini Atzeret, Rashi and Chumash, yeah? And what do we do in that day? No mitzvahs, no sukkah, no lulav, zero. What are we going to do? Twiddle our thumbs? What the rabbis enacted on that day? Here in Chutzlars, it's 2 days, right? So it's the second day. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's 1 day. Shmini Atzeret is what was the rabbis enacted on the day? Simchas Torah. Dancing with the Torah. Partying. That's the highlight. What do you do with the Torah? What are you dancing with the Torah? Because till Yom Kippur is what's called Tshuva Miyira. Tshuva with fear. This is the days of awe, days of din. We're frightened of din. And there's what to be frightened of. I'm going to explain. Then, afterwards, we have days of Tshuva Mi'ahava. Tshuva through love. We're going to explain the two differences. How do we express love for Kodesh Baruch Hu? How's our return to the Torah? We're dancing with the Torah. Yeah? How do you know what a person really wants in life? If you want to know what this person wants. What's his real rotzen? What's his real inner will? How can you tell?
See how he spends his time.
What else?
See if he gets enjoyment out of doing it.
That's good. See what he's happy about. What makes him happy? Trip to the Bahamas. What makes this guy happy? How happy is he really? If he's happy in Simchas Torah, if he's sameach, happy, I don't know the word, sameach, joyful, I don't know if that's the right translation. If he's joyful, that's his expression on Simchas Torah, that's his rotzen, that's his will. Then he returns. You understand how we're building up, and that's the climax? The Akadmonim, our earlier sources, it's a very early source in this, explain that that's like chuppah, that's like cheder yichud. That's the closest we are with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When's the closest?
Simchas Torah.
Simchas Torah. We don't have any mitzvahs then. Why? Because we're with him. Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu alone with him in the room. You know? Before you get married, you know, you buy her, she buys you the shas, you buy her the ring, you buy the bracelet, the watch, you get that eventually, next year. The shaitan, she buys herself. You don't buy a shaitan. Forget it. You can see he's not married. Shaitan's wife buys it herself. Don't get involved.
You pay for it.
Yeah, you pay for it. Yeah, that's normal, that's normal. Yeah, anyway, but those are all before marriage. You buy all those things, you get close through the savlonas, the presents, right? The mitzvahs, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the chuppah, in the sukkah, right? But when you and your wife are on the wedding day in the cheder yichud, it's just the two of you. You don't need those presents. Those are just to get some sort of appreciation, some sort of closeness. But when you're together and you're close, it's just the two of you. That's what Shmini Atzeret is. You understand what I'm speaking about? That's the joy we're dancing with the Torah. And we say, Kudshe Brichu. Now why is it Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torah Techa? We're returning our Father to the Torah. And you notice you use the words Avinu, our Father. You notice in the words Hayom Harat Olam, right? This is the day of the impregnancy of the world. I didn't know how to translate it. That's what you translate it? I don't know how to translate it. Oh, scroll. You know what I'm talking about? You know the one where we sing Hayom Harat Olam, Haras Olam, right? Hayom Yamid B'Mishpat. You guys, that's when we all, you know, we all sing, right? You know what I'm talking about? It says Im Kabonim, right? It says Im Kabonim. Rachameinu Av Abonim, Avinu Malkeinu, right? Avinu. It says Avinu, right? Hashiveinu Avinu L'Toratecha. How does a Kodesh Baruch Hu become your father?
Mercy.
The mercy of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How you make a Kodesh Baruch Hu merciful? It's when you have Torah. Then he's Avinu. Otherwise, it's Avodim. It's Avodim. Eineinu Lecha Tluyot. Then it's Din. The way we ma'orer a Kodesh Baruch Hu to mercy is through our connection to the Torah. The more we're connected to the Torah, the more it's Avinu. And our Kadmonim say, those who have a higher level, they have a head. They have the neshama permeates them, then it's Avinu. Those who don't have that higher level, it's Malkeinu, it's Avodim. We say Avinu Malkeinu, you know, because it's both ideas. But the way we get to Avinu, the way we get to mercy, is through the connection to the Torah. Learning Torah. That's it, simple as that. Learning Torah, wanting to know Torah. Because why is that? Kutshu Berichu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, V'Oraita, and the Torah. You know what Oraita means? What the word translation for Doraita, Oraita means? What does Oraita mean? You guys don't know?
What? Doraita.
Doraisa, yes, it's Doraisa. You heard Doraisa?
Yeah, sure.
What does the word mean?
It means from the Torah.
Aramaic. Yeah, Aramaic. What a word? What's a literal translation of the word? Oraita.
From Torah. No?
No.
Light.
Oh, light? Oh, yeah. Literal.
Literally, light. Yeah, light. It means light. Right?
Oh.
The light. We found the light. No, we're not rabbis.
And the rabbana?
The rabbis. Easy, that's an easy one. All right, it's light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is in his Torah. The awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. The Divine Presence that was on Har Sinai, right? That Divine Presence went to the Mishkan. That's the Divine Presence on the Har Abayis. That's what represents the Shekhinah, Torah. Because it's his will. The will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in his Torah. When we connect to his will, we connect to his Torah. The Rambam says, how can you come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Come to love something intangible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If you do that, you're crazy. Right? How does a person come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How? You guys know? You guys probably know. You ever had a girlfriend? No, let's put this one off now, right?
It's okay.
You had a girlfriend?
Yes.
You know how you feel when you have a girlfriend. You can't get her off your mind. You're thinking about her. You're infatuated with her, right? You guys think that Rambam had a girlfriend?
Who?
The Rambam. Maimonides. You think he had a girlfriend?
He was married by the age of like...
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
Was he about Shula or...
No, he was a BT. He wasn't a BT. He was an FFB, yeah. Rambam was the FFB.
I think the Rambam was already married by the time we started dating.
Right, so how does a Rambam describe the love of Torah?
Like a girlfriend.
Like a girlfriend. He didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't know what this thing's like, being infatuated and your mind being on it, right?
No, man.
How do you know?
He just knows.
Because you know what we have and we say. Svadim, right? Svadim. You say Shira Shirim. You ever read Shira Shirim in English? Go read Shira Shirim in English. You heard the Song of Songs. You ever read it in English? It's a terrific. It's a terrific love song. It's a terrific love song. The Ahava, the love of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the love of a husband to a wife. Or the opposite, right? The love we have for the Torah, and the way we come to Avos HaTorah is through learning. The Torah is on our mind. We're thinking about it. We're understanding it. We can't get it off. It's like a love.
So
it's an infatuation.
We can also say how we're told that a man is not complete without a wife, just like we're not complete without the Torah.
Yeah, same thing. The Torah, let me tell you something. The Gaon Mevilna, you guys know Eish Yeshayah?
Yeah.
We spoke about this. Eish Yeshayah is speaking about three wives. You have three wives. One wife is your wife, your regular wife.
Yeah.
Till the second year, we don't speak about the first year. Your other wife, right, is who?
The one nobody knows about?
No, not the one nobody knows about. That's in America. Here we have, everyone knows about it. Right? Who's the wife?
Shabbos.
Your neshama, your soul, that's another wife you have. Your third wife, who's your third wife?
Hashem.
The Torah, Hashem. The connection you have with Hashem is the Torah. The relationship you have to the Torah is the same relationship you have with your wife. Hopefully you have a good relationship with your wife, so you have a good relationship with the Torah, right? But that's what it is. It's like, it's that's what you want. Now, let me explain to you a few halachas. And it says as follows. You have the 10 days of tshuva, right? It says, even, it's brought down in halacha, a person who eats non-Jewish bread, kosher, right? He buys it from, with an OU heksher. All the year round, he eats kosher bread. It's not made by Jews, it's kosher bread. On the 10 days of tshuva, he should eat what's called Jewish bread. Only from Jewish bakery. It's very easy. Should only eat Jewish bread.
Like rye bread?
No. Matzah. I mean, it's made by Jews. challah made by Jews. What do you mean made by Jews? Right? It doesn't have to be made by Jews. You have the local Arab, like, that's what happened. The local Arab kneaded, put the chocolate in everything. You just have to light the fire in the oven. Right? Easy, right? We get everything. We get out of all of these things, don't worry. Cheap labor, us Jews, forget it. Anyway, so, what's happening here? Why on Asaras Yemei Tshuva, and after Asaras Yemei Tshuva, so okay, cuddling is fine. After Asaras Yemei Tshuva, right, we go back to our regular non-Jewish bread. Doesn't that sound hypocritical? Rabbi, I don't like being hypocritical. I'm going to do on the 10 days of Tshuva whatever I normally do. Right? Agree? I don't be a hypocrite. So why is the halacha and Shulchan Aruch that way? Another halacha, I'll tell you. You ever seen a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that there's a worry of a person if he's eating to be choking? You ever saw such a halacha? No. Doesn't exist. Now I'll tell you another thing. Shulchan Aruch only writes those halachot, those laws, which are normally occurring. The rabbis are only worried about those things which are normally can occur. So now, there's halacha, Erev Yom Kippur. You know why we do vidui? You know what vidui is?
Yeah.
Yeah? We do that quite a bit, right? Hopefully do it properly once. The rabbis made a special vidui before our fast meal. Why? Perhaps he will choke. Choking doesn't happen very often. You eat for 365 days, probably at least three times a day. By us, it's a little bit more. But we eat. No one chokes. Doesn't sound as if it's a... How many of you have heard of choking to death in a meal?
And how is this going to prevent it?
What's the video going to prevent it, right? So let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask... Could someone give me... I'll get a Gemara and Yuma? You know what Yuma is? It's Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and Sukkah, it says. It's like, I think it's one... What's it? It's like, I think the fifth one.
Okay.
Fifth one? Forgotten. Not bad. Anyway. Let's take a marshal. Let's take an example. Say, once a year, the king, right? He comes to see his servants. What do the servants do? This is a village. You know, the king's coming to his village. Thank you very much. The king's coming to his village. And in his village, they're farmers, they have cows, they have cattle. They get messed up, right? What do you think a person would do if he hears once a year the king's coming? And this trumpet's being blown, the king's coming, in a month's time the king's coming. What does a person do? What a normal person do who's a good servant of the king?
They'll prepare, they'll put on their best clothes, they'll...
Right, get the red carpet.
Yeah.
What sort of food they'll be eating?
Only the best food.
Best food, look, kings don't eat caviar, what's it called, caviar, what's that stuff called?
Caviar, yeah.
Caviar, right, champagne, right? Right? They won't like it so much, but okay, the king likes it. They'll get the best meats out. The whole town will have flags around, right? They'll be preparing them. What is it? They're wearing their regular clothes?
No.
The clothes they feed their animals with?
No.
The dirt on their clothes? I mean, these people, you know, they're villagers. What sort of clothing are they going to wear? They wear their nice Shabbos clothing, right? Or they'll go buy, they'll tailor make it, right? Then when the king comes, they're all waving. Now the king goes to every individual house. They open the door. They're trembling there. The king's coming. They're happy or unhappy?
Happy.
Happy. The king comes to the house. The king will see the house. They'll see what's lacking, you know. He'll throw a coin here, a jewel here, right? He'll help them out. He'll hear what they're saying. He'll see the children. The children, you know, they put on nice clothes, but he can see. The king's a clever guy. He can see what his people's need. And the people who are dressed properly and honoring the king and show the respect and love to the king will, you know, he was a good king. He will reflect that. What happens if a king goes to a house and nothing's done there? He's in the middle of eating his barley soup. He still has his village clothes on, the dirt, the house is not polished up. What's the king going to think?
He doesn't care,
he's going to be angry. There's going to be din. You understand? There's going to be judgment on the person. That's the analogy. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the king's coming. We say, Melech HaMishpat. HaMelech HaKadosh. The king's with us. He's coming to our houses. He's visiting us. We're cleaning ourselves up. We're being responsible. What's midobad? Midobad means the midot, our characteristics, our character traits. We're cleaning ourselves up, we're doing tshuva. The trumpet's been blown, the shofar's been blown, the king's coming, finally, Rosh Hashanah, it's blown. He's here with us, he's visiting. The tzaddikim, he visits first, right? You know, he visits the rabbi and the, right? And the, you know, the people of the Rosh Hakal, right? Then he goes to the rest of the Am, the Beinonim. We're all Beinonim, right? Rava is a Beinonim, so, you know, we are as well, right? And eventually, by Yom Kippur, he's visiting everyone individually. What happens now? The final time for the visit, the final visit. What's the reason Yom Kippur? Ketz HaMechila, the end of the Mechila is Yom Kippur. The king is finally coming. He's finally there. This guy is still in his village clothes. What's going to happen? There's going to be a tremendous anger from the king. There's going to be tremendous anger. So what did Chazal make? You do vidui. You get rid of the dirt. You get rid of these bad clothes. You put on your new clothes. Otherwise, Shemi Yechanek. This din. Closeness implies din. Closeness can be the height of closeness with someone. You'll find also in a relationship. If you're close to someone, you come home. Your wife's a good one, right? Come home. Expecting dinner. Dinner, you call it? Dinner, lunch? What do you call it? Dinner? Expecting dinner, you know? In America, you have a hard day's work. You can't really get anything kosher or anything worthwhile getting kosher, you know? Forget McDonald's, right? Right? And even, you know, it's unhealthy for you, right? So you have whatever you have in the meal during the week, you know? Your sandwich, whatever. But expecting your meal to come home. Then all of a sudden, your wife's on the phone call with a friend. You walk in, she looks at you, doesn't even say hello. She's on the friend. You're shunning your shoulder, right? Why? I thought she liked me. Did she like me before? You know, like, you know, what happened here? And she's chit-chatting with a friend, and you're starving over there, schwitzing, right? Getting annoyed. I'm not saying you should get annoyed. I'm saying, could be natural. But why get annoyed? If you go to your friend's house, or for a Shabbos meal, and the woman's on the phone, you're not getting annoyed. Because there's no expectations. To someone you're closer to, there's expectations. When you get close, when Kodesh Baruch Hu is close, there's expectations.
We have expectations from Kodesh Baruch Hu, or vice versa? Or
vice versa, Kodesh Baruch Hu has expectations for us.
We're expected to do.
Yeah. I think some people have expectations of Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Yeah, we want the Lamborghini and the Porsche and the nice house and give me Parnassa and give me this and give me that. Why did you do it? I doubted the whole of Yom Kippur asking for Parnassa. Well, did you do Tshuva? Forget about what you want from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because when you have Torah, you have all the bracha. When you have closeness to the King, you have all the bracha. When you're close, you can always ask. He's available. He'll give you without you asking. He's a good King. He wants your benefit. You understand what I'm saying? You understand how it happens that closeness we reach, Hashiveinu Avinu LeTorateicha, that level of closeness that we get, that what itself brings on the din. So when is the height of that closeness? So if you look in the Nusach Batfilah, the way that our davening is developed, you ever saw the way the davening is developed? We have five tefillahs till Ne'ilah. It's usually davening, then Slichas. Davening, Slichas. Davening, Slichas. Five times. Each time, the rabbis explain, each time is to take us to a newer level. Why, Rabbi? Why I did this? I did this just, you know, how many times I'm doing this? Shamnu Bagad. I did it already. How many times do I have to do it? You know, I did it, Rabbi. I did vidu for that chet. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains. You ever had a bad stain on a garment? You ever had it? How do you do it? You just, you know, just first you soak it in water, then maybe bleach it, then you rub it, and you squeeze it. There's a few processes here. And the more you rub, the more comes out. Then you have to put the lotion again, and then you rub it again, and you squeeze it again, and the more comes out. There's still a bit of a stain. You rub it again until the process of rubbing, it's removed. That's what the tefillahs are. That's what our slichas are. We're doing more and more all the time. It's more of a rubbing, more of a kvisa, more of a cleaning. Until finally by Ne'ila, with the fast, because the fast is also removing our physicality, that we feel like a malach, we feel like an angel. It's not a bad thing. If you daven, I'm going to guarantee you, anyone who davens properly with all his strength on Yom Kippur will not feel hungry. The feeding that you feel fed from the tefillahs. The tefillahs fill you. Now that sounds stupid, but it's actually, that's how Chazal say. You were on a different level. Our tefillahs fill us. You will not feel hungry, Motzei Yom Kippur. If you're involved in the tefillahs, if you're thinking about them, if you're really doing them, if you're looking, you know, when can I have my cigarette, when can I have your, the food or the water? If you think about it, you'll be hungry. But if you think about your tefillahs, you're just involved in them, right? You won't feel hungry. Now, those tefillahs clean us to a certain level. And the height that we get on Yom Kippur is Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah, we get to the level of the Yud Gimel Midas. You know the Yud Gimel Midas? Ne'ilah is the last tefillah. That's the most important tefillah. You should be for Ne'ilah, you should be, everyone stands. I don't know, Kel Nora Alila, right?
According to the locking of closing the gate.
Yeah, Ne'ilah means closing of the gate.
Yeah,
that's a final chance, right? Literally, it's closing the gate. Ne'ilah means to close. But we open the ark, and we all stand up, and we're shouting, we're davening, and we're into it. And there's a tremendous call, there's it's our roots for tefillah, for davening, for closeness. We should be asking, bring us to you. This is the time. Ne'ilah is the time when what? When we're judged. But what is the time also? That's the time we receive the Torah. The Yud Gimel Midas are Yud Gimel Midas. You know what Yud Gimel Midas are?
Hashem.
Yeah, yeah. Those Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim is a revelation of Matan Torah. Because the Torah is called Rachmana. Amar Rachmana. You've seen the Gemara? Amar Rachmana? And the Torah speaks. The Torah is called Rachmana, mercy. Tefillah is called Rachmana, mercy. Through tefillah we get to the level of receiving the Torah. And when we receive the Torah, that means that we perceive Rotzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, We get to that level, that's the time of judgment. That's the time of sealing. Why? Because when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is so close to us, if we feel that closeness, there'll be a time of rachamim, a time of mercy, a time of giving. All our bakashas, all the things we need, even without asking for them, what he doesn't know, will be given to us. If we feel that closeness, if chas v'shalom, no, we don't feel that closeness, there'll be an anger, there'll be din. Because there's an expectation. We don't live up to that expectation. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. That's how it works. You understand how it works? It's not just you know, like, there's a mechanism here. You understand the mechanism? You understand how Chazal, even the halachas around this, brings us to this mechanism? You understand what I'm saying? That's what it is.
I have a question in general about Yom Kippur, though. I mean, it seems like the one time, one day of the year that you can literally kind of like completely cleanse yourself or completely clean your slate, and it says that God kind of judges you on where you are at that moment, as far as like, you know, maybe not, or if you've done, you know, real tshuva, then like, you know, he judged you in that sort of light. But how are we to understand it? I mean, is it really like we just erased, you know, all those bad things that we did the past year, or all the bad things that we're going to do for the coming year? It's like, who are you trying to fool to a certain degree? I mean, I know there's, there's definitely like a certain amount that you can feel and different things. And
doesn't erase everything.
Returning, but.
Doesn't erase everything. Bezman Beis HaMikdash, Yom Kippur with Sir Mishtalech erased everything.
Even man between man?
No. Between man and man, no. Man and man. You have to solve. Ad shifayis et chaver. Yom Kippur is not mikap between man and man. Oh! Hey! We warmed up a seat for you. Go get your cereal.
If you don't...
Between man and man, it can't. But try and understand why. Between man and man, your avera is the hurt that the other person feels. That you hurt him in an incorrect way. If you hurt him, and you didn't intend to hurt him, and he feels hurt, and there was no intention of hurting, you know, that's it. It's a sensitivity. You should be sensitive towards him, right? But if you hurt him, you know, purposely, you have to be mephias him. You have to not only say, forgive me, you have to be mephias. Mephias means you have to, like, speak it over with him, talk to him, replenish the relationship. Not just, I did something to you, can you be mocha me? I'm Merkel. That's not enough. You have to be mephias. You have to come back to the relationship.
What if you did an action that you know be hurt, like you know the person feel hurt even though it wasn't directed, like the action itself was not directed at that person, and your intent is not to do this
action. Oh no, it's halacha. That means to hurt a person, to mitzayah someone, is only have the intention to be mitzayah them. If accidentally, so long as you weren't posheh, so long as you weren't negligent. If there was no negligence and the other person was hurt because of you, you didn't do an avera.
What do you do if...
Hey, where are you going? See, you can get up so quickly.
What if you're just like a rude...
See things, sit down.
What if you're just like a rude person? And you don't even realize that, like, you have a bad intent. Like,
What if you hurt somebody, but you don't remember doing something?
Oh, he's tired. How are you?
I'm all right.
Very good. Yeah. See, because it takes blood out of you guys. I think it's cool. Little terror. You should sit and learn. But Slichas, yeah. You're too tired. What time you had to sleep last night? Obviously, there was other things you were doing after Slichas. That was the problem, not the Slichas, okay.
What if you hurt somebody and there was some degree of, like, meaning, like, or not perfect. There's some degree of feeling to hurt that person, but you don't remember doing it.
No, if you use it as a feeling of hurt, you should try and... Look, it's...
Like, let's say, like, you were, you know, it was Purim.
Purim has a different thing. Purim says if you hurt someone on Purim through Simcha, you're potter.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's say through simcha, right? So right. Not because of you drank overdrank.
Well, let's say you overdrank and you hurt somebody, but you don't.
So ask for forgiveness. Don't remember. You don't remember who?
What?
Yeah, forget
you
it.
You don't remember doing.
He knows that he did it.
I guess so. Yeah.
So I'll ask him for forgiveness. What's the big deal?
You would remember. You were so twisted.
No, but he told you. He came out. How do you know?
So
other guys told you.
He hasn't told you.
Hashem knows you did it, but you don't remember because you were inebriated.
His behavior toward you is different. You know, slightly different. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not different at all. He doesn't tell you hurt him. You know, but
look, I don't know what it was.
Are you chayv? The question is, are you chayv if you didn't know?
This is a hypothetical.
Okay. It depends what it is. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to answer hypothetical questions for real ones. It's very hard to know. I don't know what that was. Generally speaking, if there was a negligence, even if you didn't know, you have to ask forgiveness. Because you hurt a person.
I'm not sure if you answer this, but why do we say the mitzvah of Yidui? What does it have to do with choking? Did we answer that? Like you said, like, the guy may choke.
Because now, what was the point? Erev Yom Kippur, you already had all Asaras Shemei Tshuva. Where are you? You done Tshuva yet? If you didn't do Tshuva, there's a tremendous anger. Erev Yom Kippur, you're just before the day of Tshuva. There's a tremendous anger here. So now there's a worry of, you eat without Tshuva, Shemi Yechanek. So that's why Chazal say do tshuva beforehand. We'll do video. We were attacking video beforehand. Mm-hmm. So you come in to Yom Kippur, your last meal before Yom Kippur, so it'll be okay with you. You understand?
Yeah.
It brings on that level of anger. You see in the Gemara. The Gemara is the Gemara in Yuma. On the same concept. You have to understand, it's not, Yom Kippur is a day of din. But it's not an unhappy day. It's a day of judgment. It's not an unhappy day. It should be a very happy day. If you're using it properly, it's a day of ultimate closeness. It's a joyful day. I'm telling you, when you get out of davening, you know how good you feel? You feel great. You want to do another one? Some of us. No, I'm serious.
And Purim is a more joyful day than...
Oh, okay, I didn't say. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Okay, you want me to? That's normally a drasha for Purim.
Okay, we'll say it.
But basically it is that the level you get on Purim, you get it through being in the physical world. You get to the level of Torah through the physical world. Yom Kippur we get by going up. Purim we get by bringing it down. So it's a higher level. It's always a higher level to bring Kodesh Baruch Hu in your own personal life.
So
it's very easy to bring Kodesh Baruch Hu into the Daf Gemara. I mean, he's here. Where? Where is he? I didn't see it.
It's like, where's Waldo, right?
Right. Where's Waldo?
How is bringing it down
right.
bigger if Yom Kippur is holy on Shabbat?
Yom Kippur is not
holy on Shabbat.
What?
Yom Kippur is not holy on Shabbat.
You guys are from?
Shabbat's the holiest.
Rabbi, don't let the jeans fool you.
No, not
you too. I was
someone there. Told me, Moch and Yaakov got a lot of fry guys this year. No, maybe he talked about you.
A lot of fry guys?
No, it's just me like,
fry
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be that way. You guys are from.
Yeah, I was going to be, I heard that Shabbat, like, if Yom Kippur happens to fall on Shabbat, like, you have to follow Kippur or Shabbat.
You have to what?
You have to like do the fast on Shabbat and Kippur happens on Shabbat. Like,
yeah.
So I thought Yom Kippur was a certain special.
Listen. Shabbat, let me tell you something really. There's a difference in Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Shabbat, in a sense, is a higher level than Yom Kippur if a person knows to use Shabbat properly. Shabbat will require 6 days of work. It requires 6 days
Yom
of toiling.
It requires 10 of the whole year.
Shabbat requires 6 proper days of work. If you work properly during the week, Shabbat's a very, very high thing. We reach the same level in Ne'ilah, we reach in Mincha on Shabbat.
What?
Yeah. Where we get to Ne'ilah, we get to Mincha on Shabbat.
Every week.
Mincha. On Shabbat, yeah. Not Erev Shabbat.
Mincha on Shabbat. No, Mincha on Shabbat.
On Shabbat.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Right? Shabbat's a very special day. However,
I'm not discounting.
No. However, there's a difference. Difference in Yom Kippur is that it's a little bit without avodah. Bizman beis hamikdash, and there's a day in the Gemara that Yom Kippur is mekapa even without tshuva. I mean, without avodah means itzu moshul yom. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Itzu moshul yom mekapa. The day itself is mekapa. There's a certain HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down. Or wait, right? He's coming to us. Shabbat, we have to get to Him. There's a way of getting to Him. Shabbat brings us up, and we come to Him. But it's only through avodah. Yom Kippur, there's an element without avodah. He comes to us without work. It's good for us, isn't it? For us, they're like working so hard. But there's a problem with that. Because there has to be a little bit of work. We don't have to go to the king's palace. That's Shabbat. The king comes to us. But when the king comes to you, you better have your house tidy and your clothes clean.
Your best suit.
Otherwise there's din. When you go to the palace, you're working hard to go to the palace. You're not going to be allowed in if you're wearing your village clothing. You're going to be staying out. So if you have certain type of clothing, you're not going to get there on Shabbat. Only if you prepared yourself, only if you worked hard, and you got to a certain level, will you get what Ne'ilah gives you on Mincha B'Shabbat. But if you still have your village clothing on, right, you're not going to get there. You know? You'll be in a challenge outside the palace. Cholent outside the palace is not like cholent inside the palace. Let me tell you. You guys know what cholent is at least, right? Okay, good. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the difference? You understand the difference now? That's why Yom Kippur is special in that sense. But what's better? What makes a person a higher level? If it's you did it yourself. That's why Shabbat is a higher level. Because if you get there, it's something that you got through your own endeavor. Whereas Yom Kippur, it came to you. There is part your own endeavor. You have to clean yourself out. But you didn't have to get into the palace. You know, you ever tried, the Israelis are very good at this, right? You ever tried getting anything done here in this country?
Yeah.
Yeah, like your passport change and stuff like that. You walk in and they tell you, well, you're missing, we told you need 3 photos. Oh. And you need, did you fill in this form? I didn't know about that one. Well, come back. Can I come back without, what do you do without a queue? Queue up again. Right? So that's getting it, that's why you're getting into a palace, right? That's just getting, changing your passport. Can you imagine how difficult it is getting to the palace? You're missing one little thing. That's the work in Shabbos. Hey, what happened to you? Bring your water. Look who we have today. Our star guest. Okay, come sit down. You can bring your cereal.
Okay,
Davin. Davin. Oh, that's a good one.
I've never heard that one before.
Why did you say that one?
Believe me.
You're right. I bring it. Okay, do you understand what we're talking about? Now, let me read you a Gemara. So we'll see, the Gemara actually says something like this. This is a very interesting Gemara. Rav, Havele Milta. Rav had a matter. It's too, you guys, everyone has to leave. Where was it? You have to leave? No, you guys got Geula, I don't know, buying Machzorim, I don't know what you have to get.
Of course.
Right,
more tzitzis.
And tzitzis, more tzitzis. You got enough tzitzis. Just wash them. You can wash them. Some people, probably you guys are so frail, you think you can't wash them, right?
Yeah, you're ruining
the whole garment.
No, wash them by hand. It's easier.
Right,
wash
right,
them
right.
By hand. Right. Okay, it's easier. Alright. Rav Havile Milta, he had a matter. Bahadi Ahu Tavcha. With a certain shochet. You know what shochet is? A butcher. Mm. I.e.
Like shat.
Yeah, shat, yeah, tavcha. Now, what does it mean he had a matter with a shochet? That means this shochet did something to Rav. It wasn't nice to Rav. So what did Rav decide to do? He's a rabbi. What he'll do?
Take him to the Beit Din.
He knows Yom Kippur's coming. He's talking about Erev Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? He wants a shomer not to have a veris. He's a yid. This guy did something against me. I want to help him out. Lo atel kamei. The shochet didn't come in front of Rav. B'male yom ha'kippurim on erev yom kippur to ask for forgiveness. You know who Rav was?
Huge.
No, it was an Amor. It was the end. It was a Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe was the one who wrote the Mishnayos. You know who Rebbe was? Rebbe Yehuda Anasi?
Yeah.
You heard of him? He was the one who wrote the compiled the Mishnayos. Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe. Therefore, we say in the Gemara, he was the end of the Tanaim, the beginning of the Amoraim. Therefore, he's an in-between generation. Therefore, the Gemara says, Rav, Tanahu, Bapali. He's a Tana. He can argue. He's not a Tana.
He's the only one?
He's an Amor. He's, no, I think it could be maybe Rebbe Chiya as well, right? They were the compilers, Rebbe Chiya and Rishai were the compilers of the Brises and Teseftas, right? So Rav was a big guy. Big guy, right? This guy did something bad to him. And he didn't come Erev Yom Kippur to ask him forgiveness. So what does Rav, this big tzaddik, do? Ameihu, he says to himself, Izalana, I'll go to him. I mean, Lefiyusile, to schmooze with him, to be mafias him, to speak with him. Maybe he'll come to tshuva. Now you know the Gemara says, we don't understand these people, the Gemara says that Rav, if he went 4 amas, that means 2 meters, that's far 2 meters? If he walked 2 meters?
No.
If he walked 2 meters without Divrei Torah, it was considered a Chilul Hashem. It was considered a profanation of God's name. You heard of that one? They don't say that about me. Does that about you? Okay, right. Watch out for him, right? What's he wasting his time? Erev Yom Kippur, Kabbalah's Torah, what's he wasting his time? It's a walk there. Right? Take a bus, maybe, I don't know. It's a waste of his time. You know how many people waited to speak to Rav in learning? He had a yeshiva. It's a waste of time of Rav. Rav felt it was an important thing to do. Why? Because he knew the seriousness of Shemayim, of a person, right? Having something against him because he was rude to him. He knew who he was. He didn't want this person, this fellow Jew, anything chas v'sholom to be happening to him. So he went to be mefayes him. Paga bei Rav Huna. Rav Huna met him. Amalei, leicha ka'azil. Where are you going? Ma, master. Amalei, lefiyusei leplanya. To be mefayes, to make good with Ploni, the butcher. Amar. What did Rav Huna said? Azil Abba, father, that means that was a covered name for Rav. Lemitil Nafsha, he's going to kill him. He didn't say to him, that's what he thought.
Who's going to kill
him? Rav was going to kill him.
Oh.
Right, Rav was going to kill him?
No.
No, he was going to make him do tshuva. Azil Kamiluye, he stood in front of him. Haviyati Vika Pali Reishi. He was like cutting the head of something, right? Dali Eine, he like lifted up his eyes, his eye. V'chazie, and he saw Rav. Omle Abba, at? That's Abba? That's Rav? Zil, go out of here. Leisli Milta Badach, I don't have anything with you.
Whoa.
Bad news, right? What happened here?
So he met someone on the road and he said that?
No. He went to the butcher.
Butcher's chopping the head.
He lifted up his eyes, saw Rav, said, get out of here!
Oh.
That's how you speak to a rabbi. Rav!
Wasn't Rav like walking out like a thin layer of air and everything?
No, that was Houdini. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Ba'arit ka pali reisha. You know, Rabbi, you guys never met Rabbi Truth, right? So, you know, you have all these stories about the rabbis that he did this and he did this and he did this. Rav Truth hates these stories. You know why?
Says throw them out the window.
Throw out the window, yeah. Why says throw out the window? No, maybe they were true. I don't know. But why says throw out the window?
Because
Their greatness is their Torah. If you really learn Torah properly, if you understand Torah, you see the depths of Torah, you don't need all these stories to prove God and stuff like that. It's clear. The Gaon of Vilna says the best emunah is understanding a Tosfos. Probably most people don't want to invest in understanding the depths of Tosfos, or no one maybe teaches you the depths of Tosfos. I don't know what it is. If you learn deeply Gemara is very deep. Believe it or not, this is a deep book. There's lots of depths. Any question in life, there's a Gemara on it. You have to know Gemara for that. I mean, you have DNA questions, right? The questions of DNA. There's Gemaras. Questions of artificial insemination. Gemaras. I'm not saying they tell you how to do it, but there's a halachic view on it. Right? I'm not saying you learn quantum mechanics from the Gemara. Right? But there's a halachic view. If you want to understand how the realities of life, the metaphysical realities of life, that the Gemara will explain. It might, therefore, you might have a better understanding of uncertainty principles, stuff like that. But the Gemara speaks about deep things. Anyway, let's go in that item. So, Pali Reishi. So what happened? Ishtamit Gama, a bone flew out when he was bashing his head. Umachye Bekuye, and it went up and whatever, hit him, and Katle, and he was killed. Bad news.
What actually happened?
Huh? That's what actually happened, yeah.
Repeat that?
So he was bashing the bones, the head bone, and a little splinter of bone went up and killed him.
Killed the butcher.
Right, killed the butcher. Rav. So Ravuna was right. Rav went to kill the butcher.
How did he know that was going to happen?
Well, obviously knew the butcher. Rav didn't think the butcher was going to say, get out of here. Rav thought the butcher was going to come and be Matthias with him. He was going to... So what's this? Why is this little story here? You know, because it's a mashal. It's an understanding of what happens on Yom Kippur. God's coming to Mephias, the Jewish people. He wants us to come close to Him. How do you want the story to end? We want to be close to Him. We want to be Mephias with Him. That's why I told you we have Shemin Yechanek. That's this concept of the King. If we come close to Him, then it's a different relationship. Then we get, you don't have to ask, give me panasa, give me this, give me that, have. The Kabbalists say have, like a dog. That's not the purpose of Yom Kippur. It's an opportunity, you know, the doors are open, the sweet shop's there, I want a sweet, I want this, I want that. You know, eBay? Yom Kippur eBay? It's not eBay, metaphysical eBay. That's not what Yom Kippur is about. It's about reconnecting. Reconnecting to the Torah. Reconnecting to our source. If you have a problem connecting, that you can ask for. Ask to connect. Ask to feel connected. If you want it. Ask for it. Ask for Ruchnius. It's a completely Ruchani day. I don't want to tell you, but you know, Yom Kippur, you're not only done, not only a judgment on your physical status, which is important, for us, the most important, it's also on your spiritual status, it's also on your Olam Haba, it's also on the Yemot HaMashiach, it's a different sphere, it's a different aspect of reality. It's a very big day. Use it properly. Mid-orer, you know, go to the mikveh. You guys go to the mikveh? Erev Yom Kippur, those even don't go. It's a little dirty, it doesn't matter. Well, dunk you in. Baptist. I'm sorry, wrong religion. Sorry. No one heard that one, did they? Go to the mikveh. You know, they give lashes. The hard one, don't worry.
Who does?
The people in the mikveh, you see people there with their belts, and they give you little lashes. It's brought down in halacha.
I have not seen this.
The Muslims do that to themselves.
No, we don't do it hard. Someone takes a belt, and they just give you like a tapping.
I know, like in a bathhouse.
Why? So it says, lo ore you. Hey, we have another guy. Where were you today? What do you mean? We were expecting you. Were we expecting him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Say yes.
No.
He doesn't know. Look, I get him to sit here. He's supposed to be a prop, but obviously he hasn't been educated properly. What did you learn in university?
How to talk.
Political, what was it?
Political communication.
Yeah, you see, he obviously didn't learn very much. Political communication, he's sitting by the rabbi, I get to be a political communicator, to get used to the shit. What is this? I tell him, what does he tell you? Don't have to come. Yeah, come here.
Rabbi.
You daven't?
A little bit.
Okay, go finish. Why didn't you say that one? You didn't daven, did you?
No, I don't.
But you don't want to either?
No.
Try it out sometime. Mm. Maybe you're careful.
Maybe.
Read in English. Try the English version.
I do it in English if I do it.
Okay.
I have to go meet with Jack Cohen now.
Okay, go. We'll let you off. Only a little bit.
What?
You know what you like? How about trying out Rabbi Trivet, a bit of Rabbi Trivet? You like Rabbi Trivet?
Okay.
You know Rabbi Trivet?
No.
I'll give you something to look on the email.
www.hashkafacircle.com. It's his website.
Have a look at it. No, seriously. I'm being serious. But he's better in life, in real life. You don't know who Rabbi Trivet is, do you?
Yeah, he doesn't do the voices in the online.
Yeah, you don't know who he is. I speak to Rabbi Lin about coming into Machon Shlomo for seeing one shoe with Rabbi Trivet between 12 and 1.
Doesn't he do that?
I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it.
Those voices.
I can tell people, you'll enjoy it.
Is there a Davidka Square?
What's Davidka Square?
Davidka Square, yeah, there's a Davidka Square.
Davidka?
I don't know where on your.
How do you say Davidka Square?
Rabbi Trivet does voices?
Rabbi Trivet?
He goes,
of course.
Rambam, you see?
Right?
Yeah, he's got it good. He's got it good. You don't know, but he's deep. You like it.
Just call Jack and ask him what he said. It's Jack and what? What's your perception?
Well, he said Davidka. How do you say
Davidka? That's what we want to make our Yom Kippur.
A day of joy.
Yeah. The highest level of joy is when we come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the opportunity to come close.
Is it personal joy? Or is it like out loud joy?
It's both. Because you're doing with the groups, it'll be out loud. You'll be very happy. If you do use Yom Kippur properly, it's one of the most happiest moments in your life. You feel great afterwards. But that's if you feel the closeness. You have to be more red. Get into the davening. You know, sometimes you feel tired and you think, get out of that. Push. Push a little bit. If you push, you won't feel tired. If you like, no, I'm tired, I have to rest. No, I have to sit down now. If you push, just a little bit, you won't feel the tiredness. It's surprising, but it's true. Okay, we went overboard a little bit. Yeah.